Okay, well, it's good. Good to see everybody. We are in Romans 16:16-17. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I figured I'd read just 20 to round it out. Okay, we are continuing on now. Last week we saw Paul greeting the saints, writing to the Romans, saluting the saints, asking those saints to receive the laborers and fellow laborers with him, and not just with him, but with other saints and to all the churches, realizing that they were all in it together. I think Paul wanted them to recognize, I think we joked about it, that he had help from his friends, and those friends were members of the body. And we talked about that trailing phrase that he used in most of his, when he saluted those people, when he used those phrases, when he talks about the saints, those who are in the Lord, in Christ Jesus, in Christ, the work was unto the Lord. He recognizes that the sphere of their activity was not only in the Lord, to the Lord, or unto the Lord, recognizing his headship over them and their participation in the same ministry under the same head. That's why he can use those terms that we talked about as far as being in the Lord, in Christ, and even those in Christ before him. Those are phrases that I hope we didn't just read over those, but they're very, to me, very telling, very pointive to recognize the unity that they had. And all those people were working together, and they knew that. They labored together, and they knew that. And Paul says in verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So with the principle of godly living, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall
suffer
persecution. So with every godly saint, or those who are seeking to do what God wants, Blake, seeking to do his will and not their will, they're going to have opposition. For every seed, capital S, for every godly seed, there's an ungodly seed against him. For every, in the Gospels, every wheat, there's a tare. For every, Blake, every potential image, there's a what?
A false image.
I thought Blake was going to say, Ed, I thought Blake would say an anti-image, but I'm thinking for him.
I should have said that.
I want him to fill in the blank.
That's right.
But this is not new, is it? We know that from Genesis 3, there's been a conflict. And if God raises up a people, then there's a people that's going to be against him, because the conflict is ultimately between the Lord and between the adversary. And we are whatever man that we identify with, then we can expect to be a persecutor or to be the persecuted. And Paul says, for all those people that he tells them to greet these people, acknowledge these people, receive these people, salute these people. He says, there's some people out there that I want you to mark these people and watch out. He says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. And I know a pastor used to say, put an X on them. I agree with that, but to mark them, it's more putting a scope on them. Now, a scope is kind of like an X, isn't it? But if you turn it up, it's you tell them that I've got him in my crosshairs. You're ready to shoot him down. But Paul says to mark them, scope them out. Put your eyes on them. Watch them. Observe them to find out what they're teaching, and avoid them if they cause these divisions. So naturally, my question was, well, what are the divisions? Paul says these are the divisions contrary to the doctrine that you have learned. Divisions and offenses. And two of those things are prevalent in Paul's ministry. That is those who teach the law, and kind of what we just talked about, those who look for gain, those who are performance rated, performance people, and those who are prosperity people, preachers, teachers. Paul says, scope them out, put your eye on them and avoid them. The law teachers teaching things, Paul said, that they ought not, for filthy lucre's
sake.
For filthy lucre's sake. He said, avoid them. That's Paul's plea to those, all saints, really, not just in that day, but even now, we are to do the same thing. It's kind of hard now because all we see is those two things, don't we? We see people teaching performance and prosperity. Mm-hmm. It's you really have to weed out what we call the unadulterated gospel of grace. That is, Christ did it all. Paul had to fight for those things in his ministry. Who better to tell them to watch out for this teaching than Paul? When he starts out, when he goes to Galatians, to the Galatian church, he asked them a question. More of a statement. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. He said, I wish that those men were even cut off, because they trouble you. They're causing defenses. They're causing the Galatians to bite and to devour one another. Look back at Romans before we go forward. Look back at Romans. We're in Romans. Romans 15, when he's going up to minister to the saints in Jerusalem, he says in verse 30, Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Paul is already have been through persecution, and he's heading to persecution, and that persecution is from those who teach the law. He knows that those that do not believe in Judea, and he's praying that his service would be accepted. That is the material, physical gift, sustenance, provision that he collected for those poor saints at Jerusalem. You have those two elements there, which they're good if they're as Paul would say, used lawfully. But these men teach things and cause divisions contrary to the doctrine. I talked about this last week or a couple of weeks ago. How I talked about one of my preacher friends, and he was saying that the saints should support him financially. And he used Paul's doctrine to emphasize that. And I said, well, the same Paul that said he deserved to be financially supported or compensated, if you want to use that term, that same Paul said that I wouldn't take anything if it detracted from the gospel. I won't use the gospel if I won't use that doctrine if it hinders the gospel. He said that doesn't make sense. Paul said the doctrine of being provided for financially is instituted by God. Preachers will tell you that right now. That's God. God's will is for the preacher to be compensated. It sure is. He's right. But it's not God's will that the preacher should manipulate to be compensated, that the preacher should mandate that he be compensated. That's not Paul's doctrine. Paul said, if you think that that's all I want, you're sadly mistaken. I don't want yours. I want you. And if I get you, Jenny, if I get you, then I got yours. Last week, we saw that they first gave the Macedonians, first gave themselves unto the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Second Corinthians. That's Second Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Paul saying they didn't have anything, and yet they gave so much. How did they do that? Paul said that's a great grace. That is the abundance of grace. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave
their
own selves to us,
to the Lord,
and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So Paul emphasizes the fact that those in Macedonia, they first gave themselves unto the Lord and then to us. And that's how we are to give, as unto the Lord, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And
I was going to say that also recaps what the Lord said this, or Paul said, this is the fulfillment of the law, love God and love others. So it's basically just a restatement of that. They were living it. They were living what Paul had stated was the fulfillment of the law.
It's a principle. It is a principle and it carries over. But I will say, as we go back to 16, there are some that they caused divisions and offenses contrary. They were teachers of the law, performance for acceptance, performance for their spiritual growth in Christ. In Galatia, Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1, that, and we quoted this, but I'll read this. Chapter 1, verse 6. For I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And he talks about the gospel that he received. The other gospel that they were preaching was the performance. It was the law. It was verse 2 and 15 says, we who are Jews by, I better go back to, let's see, let's go back to 2 verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now, here's some men that came in to mark Paul to see what liberty they had. And Paul says, you know, that gesture. Paul says, I see you. he says, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul saw what they were up to and made sure that he didn't compromise and he didn't lay down to their demands. He stood and fought for the truth of the gospel, which was we don't have to put the Gentiles on a performance, and not just the Gentiles. Chapter 2, verse 10. Well, I shouldn't skip all those. Chapter 2, verse 7, verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Peter gave in. He became submissive, subjected to performance for those who caused the division and the offense contrary to the doctrine. And Paul told Peter, I even have my eye on you, Peter, even though you know I have my eye on you. And that's why Paul can say, I withstood him to the face. He went up to Peter and he says, hey. Well, I don't know what he said, but I'm giving you a paraphrase. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing, brother? Verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He said, Peter, you're not doing any of these things that you are trying to enforce. When those certain from James hit the shore, all of a sudden, you're a legalist. But you're not doing these things, and you haven't been doing these things. And Paul said, I said to Peter before them all, why are you flip-flopping? Why are you flip-flopping, Peter? Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not faith in Jesus Christ, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. By the work that he put in. By the laws and the statutes that he kept. By his faithfulness unto death, even the death of the cross, that righteousness that was imputed to us. Paul said, we're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. There's your faith. Do you believe what he accomplished for you?
Yes.
All right. Me too.
I'm fully persuaded.
I'm fully persuaded. We should be. That's very persuasive too.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, listen, when it says that Peter was liveth as the Gentiles, is he just saying that you're a sinner too? You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, Peter was, number one, he's among the Gentiles. When you go back to Acts 10, Peter, it took a revelation from the Lord, Acts 10. And then I know we probably know this, but I will look at it. We will look at it together again. In Acts 10, when Peter has the sheet vision from the Lord, Acts 10, verse 7. Acts 10, we don't want to read all that. Acts 10, verse 11. And I saw heaven open. This is Peter. And I saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And we know that Cornelius sent for these men because the Lord told him. But when Peter gets to Cornelius' residence, he says this to Cornelius, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. What truth is that? What truth did he perceive now?
That the salvation or the opportunity was being opened up to all people, not just to the Jews.
No difference.
That now God, as he said to Peter, that God hath cleansed all men.
Yeah.
Purifying, I think in Acts 15, it said that Peter said that they made no difference. Acts 15. And this is what they were arguing about, is there were some in Galatia causing offenses and divisions, or divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Well, the doctrine was a man could be justified by all things that the law of Moses could not do, that you're not under a performance anymore. And newsflash, not just the Gentiles, it was any of the Jews that Paul went to also. And even Peter knew this. Acts 15, Acts 15, verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts, and God which knoweth the hearts, and God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, and put no difference between us and them, and put no circumcision on them, and put no law commandments on them, and put no rituals on them, and put no feast days on them, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Well, how did the Jews' hearts get purified?
Same way.
Purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Peter's telling you, he's like, look, we know we can't even do this. Why are we trying to get them? And that's what Paul is saying to Peter in Galatia. Look, you know you can't do any of these things that you're trying to enforce. None of us, if we should not put any other believer on a performance because you can't keep a performance. I don't care what it is. You can take the simplest performance. Let's say, okay, Louise, you just have to say good morning every day. I guarantee you'll miss a day. I guarantee it. Well, I can't remember if I said it or not. Did I say it? I can't remember.
It was a bad day.
It was a bad day.
I didn't feel very good about the morning.
Now, that sounds comical, Ed, but I'm telling you, I am fully persuaded that none of us can keep even the simplest performance.
I agree with you 100%.
So, and verse 10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God? Why tempt ye God? Not why tempt ye the people. No, why he says, why tempt ye God, Johnny? Because God knows that you can't do it. That the law was not given for a righteous man, but for the lawless, for the disobedient. The law was given that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful, to show you that you can't even keep one, half of one. But, verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. We, Jews, shall be saved even as they. And I think Peter says this, that the Gentiles received the like gift, the Spirit, the like gift. The Gentiles received the Spirit, That is the same. We looked at that last week. That is the uniting factor, the uniting principle. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's the Spirit that renews, regenerates, seals us, joins us to that body. It's the Spirit. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is, might be his.
None of his.
He could be his.
None of his.
He's none of his. So when Peter, when Paul says that to Peter, Johnny, he says in verse, back to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Well, Peter just said of a truth, I learned something, that we're no different. Of a truth, I learned that we can't keep this yoke. Of a truth, I've learned that we should be saved, even as they. But even though I know this truth, Paul, when the certain came that caused division and offenses, I had to waffle on that truth. I had to compromise.
I jumped up and started behaving myself.
I got right in line. But when I saw them, right, I compromised.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I can't believe Peter did that. Right. And we've never compromised? Never? You sure never soft, you never soft pedal on the grace message?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, well, you guys don't believe this. You don't believe that. Well, see, because you don't want to be put on the outside. You don't want to be put out of the synagogue. You want everybody to like you. And Paul says, no, that's not how this goes. No, this one, Mike, will get you in trouble, because you're going to take away two things that men love. They love to be praised and they like that money. Or should I say, they like to be praised and they love that money. Which one, I guess. But back to Romans. Johnny, did that help?
Hey, wait a minute. Before you leave Galatians, would you elaborate for me in chapter two, verse 7, when Paul says, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Can you elaborate or show a verse to help understand how he was delineating those two gospels committed to Paul versus Peter?
Let me rephrase your question so I can understand it. You're asking us to show how these two are related as far as being committed.
Well, it says, but contrary wise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. I just want to see what delineates or how do you identify those two separate things that Paul is enumerating.
Okay.
In other words, if you were teaching somebody through this, how would you explain what the differences are and where they were committed? We know clearly where Paul's was committed when he met him on the road to Damascus, but where and what was committed unto Peter?
Okay, that's a whole other lesson. Let's maybe pick that up afterwards.
Okay, that's, all right.
That's
one thing I've been really trying to get my head around clearly. I mean, I understand it, but yet there's some things that are left wanting in my understanding.
Okay. But that's okay to come back to that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back to Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And Paul is saying to put your eyes on these men, to know them, to mark them, and avoid them. And these two issues, they come up often in Paul's ministry also. We talked about that. In Romans 15, we saw that when he's going up to give the contribution, there's some who don't believe in Judea. And James says, they all know you're here. I'm paraphrasing this. They all know you're here, Paul, and you know they're going to come together. They're coming. They're not coming to greet you. They're coming to, like Rambo said, they're coming to get you. Paul says, it doesn't matter to me, because the truth of the gospel has to continue. Corinthians, the issue was the money. And Paul said, watch out for those false apostles. In 2 Corinthians, watch out for those deceitful workers who transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. Watch out for them. In Galatians, we just saw that they had a problem in Galatia with those who taught the law, who were teaching the law. Even in Ephesus, where Paul, when he's ready to leave in Acts 20, Paul says to them, that I cease not to warn you, Acts 20, verse 20. Acts 20, verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Okay. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Why did the Jews lie in wait for Paul?
They didn't like the challenge to their money and power.
They were seeking to kill him, weren't they?
Yes. You bet.
You bet. And verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Here's what we want. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Watch out. And to all the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Look over. You are to be looking for people to mark. Paul saying, look over these people. Why, Paul? He says in verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over. Watch out for the elders, yourselves, and those that you are overseeing. In our day, it would be watch out for the preachers and the deacons, and also watch out for the parishioners. Watch out for the congregation. Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Wonder what those perverse things are. Wonder what those wolves will be teaching. Grievous wolves. I think the Lord called the scribes and the Pharisees in the gospel that they're wolves in sheep's clothing. That they bind heavy burdens on you. That's the law. To draw away disciples after them, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. Do you think that was serious to Paul? That's a lot of emotion, isn't it? Where you got a grown man crying over what he knows obviously is inevitable to the church, is that there's going to come men in after him, and even among them whom he had taught. And they're going to put those people under a performance, and they're going to rob those people of their liberty and joy that they have in Christ. Now, those are, in hindsight, you can see those are the two divisions that Paul really had problems with in his ministry. In Timothy, he tells him, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. How about we see that on a banner in the churches? You know how we have on the pulpit, Jesus is Lord? Or we have the one Lord, one faith, one spirit, one baptism logo, all that. How about we see this on a logo? But godliness with contentment is great gain. That would be impressive, wouldn't it? I would say that would be impossible.
Yeah, but on the ones I went to, it says, bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse.
They didn't care whether you were content or not, Johnny. They just wanted your money.
So think about this as we come to a close. How Paul's doctrine has been, how it has been watered down, how it has been corrupted, replaced. And the things that he tells the church to watch out for is the very thing that we have been subject to. We've succumbed to these teachings. Paul, he said in verse 7, Paul says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. And he finishes out that chapter charging Timothy to keep, or I would say making the plea to Timothy in verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. It's the vain babblings, the perverse disputings, the oppositions, all the divisions and offenses contrary to what Paul has laid down, is that he's telling the Romans to watch out for, and we should watch out for them also. In 2 Timothy, he said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but in their own lust they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But we are to watch in these things, and watch those which cause divisions and offenses. We are to watch to see if Annette, I know Annette used to, in one of the classes, she made mention of this. I don't know if it was her or Ed, but because of her background, the moment she hears something that sounds like legalism, she gets her spidey sense starts to tingle. It scares her because she's been exposed to that. She's come out of that. And you have to really assure her that that's not what this is. That's not what we're doing here. But she's, you know how you can say, I've got my one eye open on him. And we should have our eye open on all those who we hear preaching and teaching, reading. We should always have our antenna ready to detect some legalism. I would say to detect the law and the lucre. You should have a law and lucre antenna. When they start overemphasizing the money, overemphasizing performance, you know I need to keep him in my scope and avoid him, because they lead to more ungodliness. Now, we say grace believers, we don't have that issue today, but for us now, I'll say us, for those who understand more of grace, more of no legal requirements, more of gain is not godliness, more of Paul's apostleship. False teaching to us is anything I say that you don't believe. We believe the same Lord, same faith, same spirit, same baptism, all these. We got all these things. But if I don't believe Paul was born in September, I'm a false teacher. Doubtful disputation, things that we take to the limit. That if I don't say it just the way that you want to hear it, that's false teaching. That's biting and devouring. And Paul tells us to watch. That's your own subtle performance that we're putting on each other. Paul said to the Thessalonians, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And receive the word, not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God. And be what we say, be a Berean, to search the scriptures daily to see whether these things be so. We can do that, couldn't we? Absolutely. But for those that we know, when we hear those things, you have to wear this. You have to do this. It's required to do this. You have to give this. You have to support this. We know that he's heading towards, if he's not already steep in it, bad doctrine. And we are to mark them and avoid them, because they don't serve the Lord. Paul said they serve their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches, they're going to deceive the people that are really wanting to know, that are really looking to grow. And for us to protect against that, we have to know what that Paul's doctrine is, that doctrine of acceptance in Christ, that doctrine of complete in Christ. And also, it's a doctrine of contentment, that we don't have to be financially lucrative to prove that God loves us. And we might find that out rather quickly, that God loves us in spite of our financial status. But at any rate, we're going to stop at we'll pick up again at 17 and try to progress a little more. And thank you for hanging in there with us. Let's close out with prayer here. Father, we thank you for this time we spent in Romans. We pray, as always, for more enlightenment and understanding. And we pray, of all things, that the saints would be edified through our time that we spend in your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.